Thank you, Emily. Emily is my daughter, so I'm happy every time I hear her sing, which isn't often enough for me. What a wonderful Sabbath day we have. To know that Jesus loves us, and he loves us individually. Before we get started, I guess I'm supposed to do that, right? Before we get started, I'd like to have a word of prayer one more time. Heavenly Father, you understand exactly what you want us to hear today. And so I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that you would present the words, the thoughts, just the way you had planned them. And we praise you that you have given us the word in this Bible, and that we can refer to the word knowing that these promises, the words that are there, are true, and that we can look forward to your return as well as abiding in you as we journey on this planet. We thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. My eyes weren't even open yet, and I had a song playing in my head. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Jesus is the one that cares for us beyond belief. And sometimes we get so busy that we forget that he loves us and that no one can love us as much as he can. I'm going to be sharing some part of the John 15, because there are things in that chapter that were useful to me, and I hope are useful to you. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Who's the true vine? Jesus. And he says, my Father is the husbandman, or in some translations, vine dresser. And then last night I saw a third one. He's the main gardener. And somehow that spoke to me. Oh, I get that then. Because if he, Jesus, is the true vine, and the Father is the gardener, then he is busy at work on each one of us because he loves us. He loves us. So every branch in verse 2, it says, in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, who are we? We're the branches. The branches that are connected to the vine. And we have one role. What is that role? To bear fruit. And if we aren't bearing fruit, there's a danger that we'll be purged away, tossed out. But that danger is only if we don't keep abiding in the vine. He prunes off, that is the gardener or the vine dresser, he prunes off some of the branches so that they will grow better. By removing parts that are not necessary or wanted, he prunes away all ornamentation. He leads to a better looking branch. He wants you to look like the vine. So he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and every branch that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Do you wonder why you get pruned so much? Does it feel to you that, oh, I don't know if I could take one more day of this? And yet all of it is doing something for you so that you can be more useful to reach others so that they can come to him. He longs for us all to know him and to love him. It said, when I was looking up in the dictionary, which is my favorite thing to do, it says that pruning is cutting away something that is superfluous, something that's extra, something that might be interfering with who you are as the branch. You may not see it as superfluous. You may not see it as extra. But the master sees it. And he says, no, that's not going to work. So I must prune, because what this servant of mine is doing is good, except there's a part here that is a distraction. And that distraction is not bringing people to Jesus, to me, he says. It's pushing them farther away. So the goal of the branch is to receive from the vine, the sap for growth, to bear fruit. The branch is totally dependent on the vine. Are you totally dependent on Jesus Christ? I hope so. Because when we start to do our own thing, sometimes we don't allow the pruning. And we lose our bearing. And the branch becomes unwieldy, unyielding, not purposeful. And so, let's read on. This is a wonderful chapter. He says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. So, he's giving us two wonderful, gracious concepts here. He wants us to abide in him, and then he will abide in us. What a joy is that? Because a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me, who is the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How much? We can't do anything. Because self gets in the way. And then we say and do things that we go, how did that happen? We forget to abide with Christ. And so the process of pruning begins. Let's turn for just a moment to 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. He wants us, that is Jesus, to live with him in our hearts. And in verse 47 of chapter 2, it says, but the anointing which ye have received, and what is an anointing? A setting apart to do the work of the Lord. And so everyone is set apart who claims Christ. All right, so again, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I always thought it was so wonderful that the Lord even cares if we're embarrassed. Did you ever think of that? Spread out your case before the Lord. A way will be made open for you to disentangle yourself from embarrassment and difficulty. That's desire of ages. Because he knows that we're too easily distracted. We forget to look at Jesus, and we don't allow the Father to do his work through the Holy Spirit, at least not always. And then there is another verse that is dear to me. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So who sets us apart for his working? God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to fill us with his thoughts and his actions. The humble worker who obediently responds to the call of God may be sure of receiving divine assistance. May be sure. To accept so great and holy a responsibility is itself elevating to the character. It calls into action the highest mental and spiritual powers and strengthens and purifies the mind and heart. So you consider yourself a humble worker. I don't do much for the Lord. You don't? Who do you influence in your sphere? You influence everybody that watches you. They know how you do your work. They know everything about who you are, more than you realize. And it is it pointing them to Christ or pushing them farther away. And who is the one that says, don't do that. Be careful. The Holy Spirit. Because he wants us to be renewed in the Holy Spirit, to be like Jesus, and to represent him to the world. And so a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So you find that either you yield to God, or you decide you don't need pruning. Because the Lord wants us to be like him. And he prunes for us to be like him. And he that endures the pruning will find that they are listening more and more to the Spirit of God. Let's turn back to John 15. In verse 6, if a man abide not in me, and he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What are we asking? Are we asking for the Spirit to be like Christ? In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, this is what he's referring to that we can ask for. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love and labor for others, you will grow and bring forth fruit. The graces of the Spirit will ripen in your character. Your faith will increase. Your convictions deepen. Your love be made perfect. More and more you will reflect the likeness of Christ in all that is pure and noble and holy. Okay, so you say, how do I do that abiding? You know, it sounds good, but how does it happen? Abiding is constantly receiving. What are we receiving? We're receiving the Word of God. We're receiving the Holy Spirit. We're receiving time alone with Christ because we cannot bear fruit of ourselves. We need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us. The branch must abide continually, 24/7, 365 days a year. Then it cannot help but bud and bear fruit. So what are, if you are bearing fruit, as you are connected to the vine and you are pruned, you bear more fruit. The whole goal is that you bear much fruit so that maybe perhaps one day soon Jesus will come and bring us home because we reflect his image. By faith you become Christ. By faith you grow up in Christ. By faith, you are giving and taking. How do you take? The branch out there is looking at the sunshine and thankful for the rain to get to produce the blossom. Can we make ourselves blossom? No. It's a full and complete gift. But if you don't have time for Christ, will he be able to do for you what he longs to do for you? And I don't know any other way to find that but then take the time alone with Christ. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Do you say the same in your own heart and mind? Because he is the one that gives us eternal life and hope. Now, what if you say, well, so-and-so was pruning on me pretty bad. But the only one that can prune for you to truly bear fruit is the Father. We don't have that task. Our task is to yield as a branch does to the vine. Receive from the Lord. And our task is not to look to others and get our help from them or to maybe do some pruning of our own with others. That's not our call. Only the Father knows what the branch needs. Only the Father would like to bring that branch to be able to bear more and more fruit. Christ, the fullness of all blessing, he wants to abide in our heart. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your righteousness. He wants to be your everlasting helper, to give you the power to obey. Abiding is without question the most difficult state of the Christian life. Abiding goes deeper and affects one of the most difficult parts of our living. We don't like to wait on the Lord. This is a fast-paced world. We're busy. I was in line at Costco yesterday, and the lines were horrendous. And a lady in front of me turned around and she said, "I guess we forgot it was Memorial Weekend." And I laughed. I said, "I think we did." And I thought, I've been waiting in this line, and I've been waiting in this line, and I had just gotten to this line with this lady, and everything then became very funny to me. And it didn't matter how long it took. One lady in front of us had two carts full of items. And they weren't big items, you know, 9,000 pieces of clothing, 29 million pieces of food, I mean, you know, on and on. And it filled two carts. And all the while I'm thinking, what am I learning here? What must I do? And so when that lady said, "I think we forgot," I began to laugh. We forget that waiting is what often is needed. And it may not be that kind of waiting. It may be waiting to see what the Lord will do, even if we think he should have been doing something else. Because that something else may not have even been in his plan for us. It might have not even seen as part of the best for what we need. Abiding reaches all the way down to how we feel. And we like to accept the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit intellectually, but do we want to also have them affect us deep in our emotions, in our feelings? Abide in Christ and let the vine do the work. We can't make ourselves right, only he can. But we can remain a branch in the vine. And when we remain and the vine does the work, then it's done right. There's no question then what we are to do. And we don't mess it up. We don't come up with something that is so far from the original plan that we wondered, how did we get there? Remember, the branch cannot live by itself. It must be connected to the vine. And once there, the responsibility for keeping us with the vine is God's and God's alone. Because he's the only one that's safe to do the pruning. And he's the only one that knows our hearts better than anyone else. This is what righteousness by faith is really all about, abiding in Christ. In verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." If we do what? And even the keeping of the commandments is a gift in our relationship with Christ. He writes it on our hearts. He helps us to discern what we are to do. And we abide then in his love. "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And so he says to us, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." For apart from him, we can do nothing. Take your time, the time that God has given you, to renew your relationship with Christ every day. I've been living on borrowed time for 19 years. My daughter was 10. And my son was 5 when my heart blew out and 2/3 of it was not functioning. I stand before you not because of anything that I have done, but because of everything that he has done. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, you know I am a humble worker, not fluent in all the understandings of everything in this word, but I know one thing, and that is that Jesus loves me. And as I look on the group out here and in the chapel, I know that he loves each one of them as well, and that he has a plan for each life, and that he longs for us to understand that abiding in Christ is life, and he takes the responsibility for showing us how to do that. I praise you, Father, and I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.